The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today. First time we've been together in person for a long time, Stevie.
Weird, yeah.
You didn't bring me shepherd's pie or anything. It's disappointing.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, that's true. Also joining us, Stuart Robson, Julien Laurent, Frank LeBeouf. International friendlies today all across the spectrum. Let's start, shall we, by talking about France against Finland. Finland with a 2-0 victory against the World Cup winners. Not what Didier Deschamps obviously had planned. Jules, what went wrong today?
Pretty much everything, Dan. Everything went wrong. Deschamps at the end said that it was a slap in the face in terms of performance, because although he made a lot of changes, it was probably the B team or the C team, apart from what, Pogba, I guess, and Giroud starting, all the others. I know you're usually starters, but just nothing went well. They were sloppy, no rhythm, no intensity. And Finland were well organized. They were aggressive. They played really well. They defended well. They took one chance and a half and scored two goals. It was really good from them, but from our point of view, from the French point of view, it was very poor, very disappointing. Moussa Sissoko, not really sure what to say. Steven Nzonzi, just not good enough. The only good thing, I guess, is Marcus Thuram for his debut, 26 years or something after his father, who had a really good first half, a bit tired in the second half, but certainly a very good first 45 minutes, make things happen. So that was promising. The rest, just put it in the bin and move on.
Frank, we heard Jules mention Pogba, one of the main starters who did start this game. How would you assess his performance?
I would say a poor one. Normally, you know, if he doesn't play well with Manchester United or doesn't play anymore with Manchester United, he has the chance to show his talent with the national team, and he normally does well. But today, I think he was lost, in fact. He missed so many passes. Too long, too short, too slow, and didn't work as it normally doesn't, you know, defensively. So it was a really poor performance from Paul, and he really needs to react if we want to see him again with the national team.
So how much of a pass do we give these players? Pogba, of course, we've mentioned, Stevie, given it's just a friendly.
No, I think, had this been the first team, you can give them a pass because clearly they took their eye off the ball.
Right.
But when you've got so many players trying to push their way into the starting 11, there's no excuse for intensity. Listen, everybody or players can have a bad game. You can play a bad pass. You can have a bad finish. But what you should not be is lacking in intensity when you're trying to get in a starting 11. So there's absolutely no excuse for that whatsoever, and they don't deserve a pass.
How much criticism, how much coverage will this get, Jules, in France, or how much will it be, well, it's just a friendly against Finland?
Quite a lot. That's not really the preparation that Deschamps wanted for the big game on Saturday in Portugal, which is pretty much the final of the Nations League group. That's not what he wanted. It's the first time in 10 years now, just over 10 years, that France don't score in two home games in a row, which again, Deschamps won't be happy with that. Of course, they had chances and Thuram hit the bar when it was still 0-0. However, it's just not good enough. And I think Stevie makes a good point. It's not this game was not for Deschamps to see what Pogba could do. He knows what all those players are capable of. What he wanted to see is how much depth he had in his squad, because you don't know come the summer and the Euros what could happen. You might have injuries, you might have issues, you might need those players who are usually a sub. And now today you didn't see anyone who could even threaten the starting 11 and to come into that team. So that's, I think for me, that would be the most disappointing things for Deschamps to take from the game.
Robert, we heard Deschamps, of course, saying, I'll look after Paul, you know, he's fine under me. You're speaking about Pogba and his lack of playing time at Manchester United. Obviously didn't set the world alight today.
Yeah, I think he's lacking a little bit of confidence. For all his arrogance, and you think that he's a player that would have lots of confidence, I don't think at the moment that he's seeing a pass properly. He's not sure when the ball comes to him, whether he can wriggle away from challenges. Years ago, when he was at Juventus, he could do everything you wanted. He could go past people, he could out-jump people, he could out-pass people. I'm not seeing the same Paul Pogba at the moment, and I think he's just lost that confidence. And I think he's lost that half a yard of pace to get away from people at the moment. That sort of confidence he had where he knew that he could drop his shoulder and go past somebody, he hasn't got that same confidence anymore. So I think it's a worry for him. It's a worry for Manchester United. And going forward, it may be a worry for France as well.
Meanwhile, Robbo, we saw Spain and the Netherlands play out a 1-1 draw. I have absolutely no idea what to ask you about this game because I watched it and I still don't really know what happened.
Well, it's I did a lot of the Dutch football for about 6 years when they were failing to qualify. And when Ronald Koeman came in, he changed the way they played because they were playing too slow. They were playing a possession game. They had 80% possession in most of the games, but didn't win them. And Frank de Boer has taken over and reverted back to that style of play. In the first half, it was crying out for the ball to be played forward, players to make forward runs. They kept it at the back. They were being pressed, you know, not, I wouldn't say pressed brilliantly by Spain, but Spain won the ball in good areas and then counter-attacked. Either it was a poor performance by the Netherlands in the first half. They got better in the second half because they did play forward. The young players that came on showed the intensity and they showed they wanted to get in the team, particularly down the right-hand side. They got balls in behind the fullback. Reguilón didn't play particularly well. And for Spain, the plus point was they haven't had a centre forward for a little while. Morata, I thought, was excellent in the first half. He got balls into his chest. He was holding off defence. He was running past him. He made the goal as well. And if they can get him playing with confidence at his best, he's going to be a massive bonus for Spain going forward.
Jules, there were some eyebrows raised, weren't they, when Frank de Boer was announced as the new coach? Those eyebrows are even higher now, considering this is the worst start a coach has ever made in the history of the Dutch national side.
I think the eyebrows, they've gone. It's not even higher. I think they've gone. We've all lost our eyebrows look, watching them. Yeah, it's three defeats and two draws. I mean, and the level, it's I mean, I've said it on this show. He's not a good manager. He's not a good manager, full stop. There's just we have to stop even wondering if he's good or not. The fact is, the worst thing is probably that they were playing well and now they're not even playing well with the same players. I mean, how can you even do that? Just throw away the work that someone else has done before you with the same players and having something in place and you arrive and it's all gone already. That's just, it's beyond me. It's incredible.
Meanwhile, from a Spanish perspective, the one thing that will grab all the headlines, Sergio Ramos coming up and matching Gigi Buffon's record of international caps. What a player. What a legend, Stevie. And what a moment for him.
Yes, absolutely no question. A legend. And to get that amount of caps is absolutely phenomenal. And he deserves all the praise that he's getting, particularly from you, and he's going to get. So
world class.
Yeah, and by the way, that's probably the only good thing to talk about in this game, so I'm glad he actually came on.
Yeah. World-class defender, of course, breaking records.
If you say so, Dan, if you say so.
That one finishing then 1-1. Let's just take a look at the other notable results, shall we, from some other friendlies today. Some other big sides were in action. We saw Germany with 1-0 win over the Czech Republic. Belgium coming from behind to beat Switzerland by 2-1. Meanwhile, Portugal, as expected, thrashing Andorra 7-0. Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, getting on the score sheet in that one.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Looking ahead to the Euros next summer, there are still 4 places remaining. 8 teams battling it out for those remaining spots. And boy, these ties are fascinating.
A chance for 4 nations to go beyond chance. And into the Euro, where superstition surrenders to skill.
Massive chance! Holy score!
A chance to show odds aren't set in stone. They're carved on the pitch. This is a chance.
He's put this chance away.
To reach the highest stakes. Claim a spot next summer. And create the ultimate chance.
All 4 matches live for you tomorrow. You've got Hungary against Iceland and Northern Ireland against Slovakia, both of those ties on ESPN3. Meanwhile, on ESPN2, it's Georgia against North Macedonia. That's at 11:45, followed by Serbia against Scotland. Let's focus on that tie first, shall we? Just a reminder how they got there for Scotland. Of course, they had to huff and they had to puff to make it through to the final, but they made it in the end. For Serbia, it was slightly easier. Serbia beating Norway by 2-1. For Scotland, of course, it was down to penalties. No surprise, really, when you take a look at how the bookies have this set. Serbia 3-1 on. Scotland very much the outsiders at 9-4. Stevie, Scotland are going to qualify for their first major tournament, which believes it's 1998.
Wow, incredible. And the fact is we haven't really been as close as we are in this tie. Unfortunately, the game is a one-off game, yeah, and it's away from home. Had it been at Hampden Park, then I would have fancied Scotland's chances. But the truth is, man for man, the Serbs are far better than Scotland. And their away form is absolutely atrocious. Some might say that Scotland haven't lost for seven games.
Right.
But the truth is, away from home, they've been awful. We've lost against Georgia. We actually struggled to draw with the Faroe Islands. And, of course, our best players are going to be playing out of position. McTominay, for example, for Man United, is going to be playing centre-back. You know, Robertson and Tierney, who are both left-backs, one of them's going to have to play out of position. So, and where are the goals coming from? I mean, you might say I'm a little negative.
Yeah, very
but
negative,
I've got to tell you, I just don't see how we win this game, because we have to win it, because I don't see how we're going to score a goal. You know, we've got to rely on the likes of Lyndon Dykes or Ollie McBurney, who, listen, they give everything for the jersey,
right,
but the quality's not there.
Gab Marcotti with us to assess Serbia. Quite a bit of drama for them going into this tie, Gab.
Yeah, a ton of drama. A number of their players who were based in Serie A because of positive tests, not to them, but to teammates. Local health authorities said, no, you have to self-quarantine. Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, of course, so important for them. One of those players, he just left. He just up and left and said, we'll sort it out later, which would mean that then he'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks when he comes back. In the meantime, they've reached some sort of interim solution. Similar situation with Alexander Kolarov. It does look like he's going to start. Obviously, very important for them. Mm. But, you know, what Stevie said there about Scotland, you know, proportionally, Serbia are in a similar situation. You know, they don't want to be relegated down. They don't want to have to go through the playoffs. So if you look top to bottom with the kind of talent they have, they feel they should be out there qualifying directly. So all the pressure is going to be on them. They have the talent, top and bottom. They have Alexander Mitrovic, who's one of the top scorers, of course, in this Euro qualifying. You wonder if that's something that Steve Clarke and Scotland can maybe exploit.
Meanwhile, you take a look at another matchup, Iceland taking on Hungary, Hungary beating Belgium, Iceland beating Romania to make it through to the final. Gab, Iceland certainly have regressed somewhat after being the darlings of the national tournament, major tournament last time out, but Iceland going to this 11-10, Hungary 6-4 on.
Yeah, I think Hungary have to be, frankly be favourites here. They have one of the most exciting young players that you're going to see tomorrow evening in the playoffs, and of course Szoboszlai from Salzburg. They have been on a good run, and they're home. And you know, I think even more than Scotland, Hungary are historically obviously one of the greatest teams that you're going to see in international football. Think back to the 54 World Cup, the Mighty Magyars, and whatnot. And but we haven't seen them in a major tournament in ages, and you know, Marco Rossi, the manager, has tried to dampen expectations a little bit, but certainly they feel that the momentum is with them, and they just have to get past Iceland. And many have underestimated Iceland in the past.
Remember, these are one-off matches. Northern Ireland taking on Slovakia, another one of those ties. Huge for either side, of course, to make it through to the Euros. Both qualified through penalties. Northern Ireland 5-4 on Slovakia 19-2. Basically, the bookies can't separate them, Stuart Robson. This is going to be tight.
It is going to be tight. I saw Northern Ireland against Bosnia and Herzegovina, where I thought they played their best football that they have played for quite some while. I thought they defended quite well against the likes of Pjanic, who was trying to pick out the passes, and the centre forward was making runs up, run after run. But they defended well. They got two experienced centre halves in Cathcart and Johnny Evans. They've got a really strong midfield in Davis and George Saville, who plays for Middlesbrough, likes to make forward runs. But again, we were talking about who's going to score the goals. McGuinness plays up front for them. I'm not sure he's going to be running too much in behind Slovakia. And Slovakia have some good players, maybe ageing players. Skriniar is a very good centre-half. Hamsik we know about from Serie A, who's now playing in China. He's an exceptional talent, but is he past it? I think he probably is. And Kuchka, who I always thought was an excellent player, particularly when he was at Genoa. I think he's at 33. He's not quite the dynamic force he once was. So Northern Ireland have got every chance of progressing it if they play at their very best, as they did against Bosnia and Herzegovina.
The final tie is Georgia against North Macedonia. Georgia with a 1-0 victory over Belarus in the semi-finals to go through. North Macedonia, meanwhile, beating Kosovo 2-1. The biggest game for both of these countries, certainly in football. And you take a look at how the bookies have this one set. It's tight between Georgia and North Macedonia. We'll, of course, be discussing this in some detail on the next edition of ESPN FC. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we'll be discussing all the big talking points from those ties. Join us on ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
More bad news for Liverpool today. Gareth Southgate reporting that Joe Gomez pulled up during training for England with what looked like a serious injury. That, of course, adds to their concerns at the back. Stevie, obvious question, obvious statement, I know. Joe Gomez out is another blow for Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, it's... Well, it's an injury that has just come at the wrong time. Listen, Joe Gomez was the guy the Klopp was looking to solidify the problems that were left when Van Dijk got injured. And now that he's gone, I mean, it's an absolute catastrophe. You're looking at two rookies, right. Phillips and Williams, and you're looking at an experienced player in Matip, but a player who can't play two games in a row. So the question is, how do they fill that void? And I really have no idea, because
well,
you can play the rookies.
Before go back, so could someone like Jordan Henderson, for example, go and play as centre-back?
No, I don't think so. John Henderson's not built for that. You know, the likes of Fabinho and Fernandinho at City and Liverpool, the reason they can do it is because they play a game that's suited to reading it, breaking it up, cool, calm, collected, organising. That's pretty much what a centre-back does. The likes of Jordan Henderson, he's all about energy and closing the ball down quickly. You can't do that as centre-back. You step out and leave a hole, good players will kill you. So there is no obvious central midfielder that can go back in there. And as I said, you're left with two rookies and a guy who can't play two games in a row.
Robert, your reaction?
Yeah, I think it's a very sad thing for Joe Gomez. It's a sad thing for Liverpool because he's their main centre-half. He will be with Van Dijk out. And when you're trying to play a high offside line, which Liverpool have tried to play this season, you need to be working with the defenders day in, day out. They need to form an understanding. But Liverpool haven't had the same centre-halves for most of the games. There's been an injury. Even when Fabinho went back, he then got injured. So I think teams will try and capitalise on that. They'll keep sticking it in behind Liverpool. But I'm more worried for Gomez as the player. He's had a cruciate ligament injury, he's had bad ankle injury, he's had ankle surgery, he's now maybe an ACL again. And that's a real worry for a young player that's trying to get to the top of the game. He's playing for England. And I think what I hope he doesn't do is lose his confidence. Every time he goes out on the field, he thinks that there may be that chance of getting an injury. Hopefully he doesn't lose his pace, which players can do when they have ACL injuries or ankle injuries. So I think it's a major loss for Liverpool, but it's even worse for the player himself, Joe Gomez.
Frank, just picking up on the point that Stevie made about how it's a very different position, obviously, than playing in midfield. And it only like Fernandinho, Fabinho could do that because, obviously, they're used to protecting the back four. Just give us a little more detail about the uniqueness of the centre-back role.
At the ball, you have to react to what is being offered to you. And it's what it is when you're centre-half. When you have to defend, you have to be ready to correct your situation and react to what you somebody offers to you in front of you, and that's very hard. And when you have the ball, it's true that you see the game, you see everything in front of you, but you have to be cool enough to analyze everything in half a second and make sure that the first pass would be the good pass to access to a very good action. So it's what it is. And I agree with Stevie when he was saying that for Anderson it would be difficult because he's in the middle of the park, and you are allowed to make fouls in the middle of the park. When you are in the last 30 yards, you have to be cool enough to make sure that at that point you better stay up. You better not tackling, you better not making a foul, because otherwise you're going to concede a free kick to the best, or maybe a penalty to the worst.
7 weeks to go, Jules, until the transfer window open. Is it just a case of trying to put a band-aid on that defence up until then? And how, or do Liverpool have the resources then to bring in a centre-back who could help them out?
I think now with Gomez injuries and unfortunately for him, it looks like it's a very serious one. Even if Fabinho comes back soon, which should be the case, I don't think it's enough for the objective and the ambition that Liverpool have again this season. And let's not forget as well that with Matip's age and Van Dijk's age as well, there would be a point where they would have had to go and get another centre-back anyway for the years to come. So I think you just move that up if you can in January, and then either you go for someone that, you know, would help you and maybe is a more of a short mid-term solution, or you go for someone who's also long-term solution, who's much younger but maybe more expensive, like, I don't know, Upamecano, for example, for the sake of it, and you invest heavily as early as January for that, then it would be for Jurgen Klopp and Michael Edwards to decide. But certainly now the need is huge for them to go and get someone in January regardless.
What percentage chance do Liverpool have of defending their title, Stevie?
Oh, my goodness. That
drops a good 20-25% from where they were without Van Dijk. And, you know, I think right now Liverpool absolutely, because of this injury, have to go out and spend a lot of money. Because Joe Gomez, at 23 years of age, as Robert was saying, has already had two major surgeries.
Right.
That means the chances of it happening again, they rise. You're talking about percentages of Liverpool defending. You talk about percentages of a player having another bad injury. So I think this forces them into it. And they should go and get a Upamecano that Jules mentioned.
Robbo, is that it for Liverpool? Yeah. Oh, we don't have time. Anyway, Extra Time is available, as always, over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There is so much content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there and subscribe. Lots of interviews available, including Sam Marsden talking to Serginho Dest.
I guess you followed the senior team quite closely. They obviously missed out on the last World Cup and stuff. Have you noticed how big a factor that is in sort of, you know, hunger, motivation moving forward?
A little, to be honest. Like, I see that everybody wants to, you know, play a World Cup, you know, and especially with the US, you know, we as players, you know, we want to play the World Cup and reach something big for the US, you know, because we didn't really come that far yet. And we just, yeah, we try and win it. Yeah, everybody is hungry for that. So, yeah, I think the next generation is gonna be yeah, something new. So hopefully we will prove it to the rest of the world.
Obviously, that's the chance. First chance comes in 2022. Obviously, a lot of you guys, I mean, you'll be a couple of years older than, but a lot of the guys are still very young. Do you think you have chances in 2022 to go far in the World Cup with the guys you've got at the moment?
I mean, like, the ball is around, you know, so we always have chances, but I think we will have more chances in the 26, maybe, you know. We have a lot of young players in the team, you know, and I think we should grow in experience also. I just hope that we reach it far, but you know, that's something I cannot tell. You know, I just hope it, but I cannot exactly tell you.
But 2026 is especially big with it being co-hosted in the States.
Yeah, that's why I think everybody is extra motivated because it's in US, you know. So then we have to put something really good.
Is that something you guys are already speaking about, looking about, you know, sort of excitement about the fact it's going to be in the US? And
yeah, of course. Yeah, everybody wants to play in that World Cup, and yeah, actually play in every World Cup, but especially that one is something special, you know, to play in your own country.
Well, let's welcome Hercules Gomez to the show. Herc, you've been busy, very busy today. We've been trying to get a window to get you on because these quotes from Serginho Dest suggesting the US will be favourites in 2026 has got everybody wanting to talk to you.
Yeah, a little blown out of proportion, out of context. He says the ball is round. This is a famous saying in the world of football. What he's trying to say is the ball is round for both. We're not playing with a square soccer ball, and they're playing with a round ball, so they have an advantage. This is saying he's going to compete. The U.S. men's national team will compete like the rest of the world. And yes, and try to win a World Cup like every team that goes to the World Cup. It's amazing how blown out of proportion this is. You can see how politically correct he's trying to be and how some things get lost in translation. He's not saying the U.S. men's national team are going to win the World Cup. He is very, very intelligently saying our chances are better in 2026. That's a no-brainer. This is crazy to me how it's been blown out of proportion.
Meanwhile, Herc, you have to go back to the February the 1st of this year for the last time the U.S. men's national team played. Real excitement, isn't there, considering that everything we've seen, all that quality that has been added to the squad during that time for this first game in what seems like ages against Wales. What in particular are you looking forward to from this clash tomorrow?
Dan, let me start off by talking about that excitement. I mean, you lost a year with that interim coaching staff until Greg Berhalter got there. And with everything that's happened, 9 months since the last game, it feels like so long ago since we've actually seen the U.S. play in something meaningful, the U.S. men's national team. Now you have a team that's filled with a plethora of young talent all over the world, and not just all over the world, in some of the best places in the world, Barcelona, Dortmund, you know, Manchester City, Leipzig. It goes on and on and on. This has got everybody excited, and for good reason. I'm looking forward to a few things. Obviously, Chris Richards playing in the back line. Who will be that center back pairing? Can Chris Richards break into that and make that his own? We've seen him a little bit for what is Bayern Munich. I think he's an exciting prospect. Obviously, a lot of these players have an eye on Tokyo with the Olympics. I believe about 19 of them are eligible for that Olympic team. So there is that element to that. But also, it's the number 9. Josh Sargent wasn't let go by Werder Bremen to be part of this camp. So will it be Sebastian Soto? Will it be Gioacchini? Who's going to be that 9? Are we still going to rely on a player like Jozy Altidore? So who's going to be that 9? Who's going to stake their claim? And Yunusa Musa is going to be somebody that I'm very excited to really see here. The Valencia youngster, 17 years of age. We've seen what he can do in La Liga. He's very smooth on the ball in the way he drives. He's not a player that you can say is powerful in the way he drives. He glides through. Oftentimes, he's very direct. The decision-making in the final third will come and will get better as he gets older and gets more experience. I have no doubt that if you're good enough to play Valencia at 17 years of age, you're good enough to be on the U.S. men's national team. It's how does he fit in here? Does he feel comfortable? Will he choose the U.S. men's national team? Because he is a dual national, and there is a choice to be made. So these are a few of the things I'm looking forward to. But more than anything, I'm looking forward to seeing the U.S. men's national team close the chapter on what was 2018. This disappointing chapter in their history where they failed to make the World Cup, where they were humiliated versus Trinidad and Tobago, where many of us pundits, fans around the world were left disappointing and wanting to see more. This is not on them. This that happened, or that happened, I should say, is not on them. But going forward is on them. Youth shouldn't be an excuse. Greg Berhalter has a little bit of credit in my book because he's got this young group to kind of mold into what he wants. But now it's all on them. Now it's on Greg Berhalter. Now it's pressure time. Can he really make this U.S. men's national team more than just promise?
Right, Herc, we've got you here. There's a big poll going on at the moment on the website talking about the GOAT of each country, the U.S. involved as well. So let's get your opinion. Who is the greatest of all time for the U.S.? Tab Ramos, Tim Howard, Clint Dempsey, or Landon Donovan, Herc?
Clint Dempsey. Clint Dempsey's the leading goal scorer for the U.S. men's national team. I know he's tied with Landon Donovan, but you have to take into context everything. The national team, where he played in his club ball, in the Premier League, he's one of, if not the most important players, I should say field players, to ever suit up in the Premier League for the U.S. men's national team. When you talk about mentality, we hear a lot about this today, this Mamba mentality, Dan. When you talk about that, he encompasses what that really is. I've never played with a competitor that is so driven. On any given day, Clint would fight you for the smallest of plays on the training grounds because it meant that much to him. He wanted to be the best at all times. And for my money, he proved it at all levels. Scored in every World Cup he's played. He's a game changer anytime he's on the field. I've never played with an American player so creative in the final third with the ability to create something out of nothing, literally. An inch of space, he will make you pay for it. And that mentality, by far, Clint Dempsey for me.
Okay. What about Mexico? Rafa Márquez, Blanco, or Hugo Sanchez?
This gets tricky because I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers. I'm not going to say Hugo Sanchez. I'm going to say Rafa Márquez. I understand Fenta Pichichi, but you have to understand Hugo Sanchez doesn't crack my top five for the Mexican national team.
Wow.
So if we're taking account into both, you're talking about Rafa Márquez, who played in one of the greatest footballing teams on earth. Yes, that Barcelona with Pep Guardiola, and a Penta World Cup. He played in five different World Cups. He was captain of the Mexican national team in five different World Cups. This is a player, when you put it all together, he, by a landslide for me, is the greatest Mexican national team player.
Hercules Gomez, thank you very much. Be sure to go over to the website and cast your vote so you think was the GOAT from the biggest soccer countries. CONMEBOL qualifying, of course, resumes this week. Going into the third match day, Brazil and Argentina unbeaten. You take a look at certainly the tie that stands out. Colombia taking on Uruguay. That's the clash on Friday. Also Chile against Peru. Brazil against Ali's Venezuela. On Thursday, it's Bolivia against Ecuador and Argentina against Paraguay. Jules, what stands out for you from those five ties?
The Colombia-Uruguay game is already a huge one, Dan, because Uruguay very unexpectedly lost to Ecuador last month in the last game, 4-2, which was, I guess, a bit surprise defeat. And now against the Colombia side, who drew 1 and won 1, hasn't lost yet, I think it's a big challenge away for Uruguay as well to go and win there. We saw Luis Suarez in very good form with Atletico Madrid. He's already scored 3 goals, albeit all on penalties so far in those qualifiers in CONMEBOL. So it's a huge game, I think, for Oscar Tavares, for his players as well, when Colombia and Carlos Queiroz is putting stuff in place there. Let's hope that James Rodriguez can play. He's in good form as well after missing a couple of games in the Premier League. And I think it will be quite a fascinating contest between two teams with very different profiles.
Obviously, Stevie, all eyes on Messi again for Argentina. It's interesting because normally it would be taking a break when he went away, it was nice to go back to Barcelona. It's almost a little bit the opposite way around now, isn't it? It's different.
Well, he looked like a human when he's been playing for Barcelona this year.
Yeah.
And that's... If somebody has to understand to be a great player, you need the right attitude as well as just as the talent, then you've seen Messi. He doesn't want to be there. And the fact he doesn't want to be there is 100% affecting his performance. As you say, getting to play for Argentina might be the release.
Yeah.
And he might go back to being the inhuman Messi. So let's hope so.
Right. Thank you very much, Stevie. Yeah, thanks, Jules, Franks and Robbo. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Bye-bye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Steve Nicol with me in the studio. Now, it was going to be Stevie and Frank for Extra Time, but our producer decided that she wanted Jules and Stu to stay late. And look how happy they are with that. Robbo, just explain where you are, because it looks a bit weird.
I'm at a studio in London, which has usually got a nice screen behind it, which says ESPN and shows London Tower and all that sort of stuff. But that's not working, so I'm sitting in the same office, but turned around the other way.
What time is it?
What time is it, Rob? Is it midnight?
It's midnight, past midnight, I think, now.
Oh, wow.
But I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you here, Robbo.
Look how happy Frank looks.
Frank, what's wrong with you? Why are you shaking your head? You can't hear anything.
No. I hear it's just it's 1 o'clock in the morning in France.
Right. Well, okay. Who's the picture on your phone? Who's holding hands?
Oh, it's my love and I. You know,
smiling
on the beach. You know,
beautiful.
A sunny time.
That's very nice. Yeah. Jules, what's the picture on your phone? Yeah. What's your home screen?
It'll be him, won't it? He'll have a picture of himself.
It'll be a picture of Gab.
No, David Luiz.
What's your picture, Jules?
Neymar.
It's the whole. It's the whole family. Oh. All five.
Beautiful. All five. Beautiful.
Hey, you know what he does? As soon as he walks out the front door, he goes like that. Flips it onto Neymar. It's on his shelf.
Robbo's still got a flip phone, so no pictures for him. Frank, do you think PSG should offload one of Neymar or Mbappe to make room for Ronaldo?
I don't know. What kind of question is that, you know? If Ronaldo comes, you know, everything's going to come naturally, but Ronaldo's going to take his place, and they're gonna let him play with him. They're all gonna be very happy to play together, so it's gonna be all natural.
Jules, I saw the story that someone reporting that Juve and PSG are gonna do a swap deal. Neymar going to Turin, Ronaldo going to Paris.
That is complete nonsense. I don't know where is that coming from. Neymar wants to stay. He wants an extension. He's already talking to the club about an extension. So that, I don't think that's got any chance to succeed. It's as simple as that.
Okay, Stevie, imagine you should pick a January signing for Liverpool between Sergio Ramos and Harry Maguire. Who would you choose? Well, it's not difficult, is it? Sergio Ramos.
Yes.
What if?
How can it be difficult? Come on. How can it be difficult?
What if Real Madrid rang you up?
Well, because the reason it's difficult, Frank, is because he's always trying to weigh me up with Sergio Ramos. That's why.
Given Liverpool's problems at the back.
Yes.
What if Real Madrid went? I tell you what, Liverpool, we'll give you Sergio Ramos if you'll give us Sadio Mane.
Wayne, don't be so silly.
Why? You're desperate for defenders.
Listen, Liverpool have money, right? And once you have money, then you're able to go spend it wisely.
You wouldn't take that deal?
No, that would be crazy.
No.
Ramos is coming to the end of his career.
But you need a defender. A couple of years, he could come in, help you out this season.
Well, right now, Liverpool have got to be thinking that with the problems at the back, they're going to outscore teams. That's, right now, the only way to fix the problem.
Or you could do the swap deal.
No, thank you.
Besides all the injuries, what are your thoughts on Liverpool leaving Melwood, Stevie? Of course, last training session there, you know it well.
Yeah. Well, obviously for old geezers like me who were at Melwood when the atmosphere was just... It was just fun. You couldn't wait to get in there in the morning. You know,
really?
Drive to the stadium, get on the bus, all the carry-on on the bus, get into Millwood, another 25 minutes of carrying on there before we trained, and then the same on after training finished. So there was just a special atmosphere around it, which, you know, the last time I was there, that wasn't the case at all. For people like me who played then, it really is a special place.
Why didn't you drive there yourself? Why did you have to drive to Stadium to get a bus to go to training?
Well, part of the culture that started with Shankly was that they wanted the players to spend time together.
Right.
So you would go to the ground, get changed, you'd be together in the changing room, we'd have a 20-minute bus ride, everybody's together, same on the way back, and then we'd have something to eat at the stadium before you went home. Oh. So everybody's together and bonding and on the carry-on stuff. So that was the whole idea behind it.
Was that unique to Liverpool? Frank, would you drive to training? Would you drive to... you wouldn't drive to Stamford Bridge and then go out, would you?
No. Well, it was a waste of time. It would have been a waste of time, you know. If I want to talk to my friends, I would go to a bar or they come home, you know. I don't want to talk to people in the bus, you know.
All right, good teammate, Frank.
Robert, what about you? Is this why commentary West Ham, they didn't win anything with you? Did you not get the bus together to training?
No, we certainly didn't do that at Arsenal either. And I don't think if we hadn't got the bus together, I think there'd been one or two fights on the bus. Quite often when we went to hotels on the night of a game, one or two of our players used to have fights with each other. So it wouldn't have been a good idea, I don't think.
Should the international break, Jules, be paused due to the already tight fixture list causing many players to get injured and also because many players are catching the virus?
It's a good debate. Of course, we saw Toni Kroos today saying that FIFA and UEFA are using the players like puppets. They're not really respecting the players, the health, etc. You could have, of course, thought about maybe the fact that the Nations League could not have happened this season to give more time to rest for the players, to stay with their club, to also work on the fitness that they could not do before the start of the season because there was no pre-season. I don't think it would have been a bad idea. UEFA chose obviously a very different way. They chose to keep those national league games. The National Federation added a few friendlies. That's why you've got 3 games in 6 days for pretty much all the big nations this time around and last month as well, which is even more crazy. So I can see why the players could feel a bit. They all want to play for the country, of course. When I spoke to Andy Robertson after the City game, that's what he said. He said, we're all very happy and Scotland have a very important game as well, tomorrow, for example. But you could also see why the frustration is there because you saw Nathan Akey as well with Holland tonight getting injured only a few minutes into the game against Spain. So the toll is getting heavier and heavier now every time they go on international duty.
Hold on a second. Actually, we're kind of beating around the bush here. The only reason why the Nations League and everyone else is on is because of money. They want the money. They don't. The health of the players has absolutely been put at risk. Nobody with any sense should be flying around the world on planes together and then getting off in a foreign country. It shouldn't be happening. The domestic game, you can get in a little bubble and you can take care of that. It's all down to money. It's got nothing to do with the welfare of players or too many games.
Frank, how do you think Christian Pulisic's injury history will impact him this season?
It can be a problem because, you know, you have to fight for your position in the first 11. He had a fantastic end of the season and it's sad to see him not starting the new season. But Werner came. Werner is doing great. Now he's going to play on the left side. We know that Mount is kind of the special players of Frank Lampard. Abraham comes back and score goals, so it can be difficult for Pulisic to find a room in the first 11. But the season is long, and we just talked about injuries coming to other injuries.
Yeah.
We see Ziyech just coming back. He will have the time to play games. He will have just to be sure that he's well prepared, and he will have games. He will have like 25, 30 games a season for sure.
Final question, everyone. They're happy. They can go to bed soon. As we saw a couple of days ago, Frank showcases brilliant talent of acting. What talent does Stevie have? I'm guessing he could be a good stand-up comedian, as it's clearly depicted by the unique gift he gave his wife for her birthday.
You know what? I couldn't do stand. I hate standing up and talking in front of people.
But you're really good at it. You go and do those talks down in the pubs, talking about Liverpool in the old days.
It's different because somebody's asking me a question. If somebody said to me, I want you to prepare a speech tomorrow and go and do it in front of 100 people, I would be panicking. I would be shaking like a leaf.
But when you were at the Reds as a coach, surely that involved giving speeches and that sort of thing?
But I was in front of the same people every day.
Right.
As soon as it was out with that, my bottle crashed.
Really?
Aye.
Wow.
Aye.
What talent do you have, Robbo, in general?
Oh, it's my eye for a garden, Dan. Obviously,
oh, yes,
you know, you've
love
seen
it.
My garden.
Robbo
I
loves
love
his
a bit
garden.
Of garden.
What?
I love a bit of garden design. I love the topiary and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And people now ask me to would I design their garden for them?
Which people?
At a cost.
Which people?
Yeah, which people?
My family. My family and friends. And I say, at a cost. At
and
a
you
big
challenge
cost,
them
so
as
design
well.
It.
Rob, you're quite on edge. You're quite a tense person. In the garden, do you feel you're more zen, more relaxed?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Tense, nervy. Never in my life have I been that sort of character. But I'm very relaxed in the garden. Until the wind blows one of the trees down, they'll get very angry.
Shouting at trees. Jules, what talent do you have?
Basketball. I'm a really good basketball player. If you need a point guard, I'm your man. Just send me a message.
At 5'8". You're only 5'8", aren't you, Jules?
You don't have to be tall to be a point guard or play basketball.
All basketball players are 6'7", 6'8".
Oh, God.
Dan, just end it now.
That's not true. Watch basketball first and then come back to talk to me, OK?
Get to the garden, Robbo. Calm yourself down.
Yes, stick to the garden.
That's it. Bonsoir, Frank. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you, Stevie. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to join us then.